Okay, thank you. Listening to the talk so far this morning, I may be assuming a little bit here on the ability to actually do some management, but we can answer questions if there's issues on that. It's interesting. Normally, I'm talking to an audience where they don't understand Southwestern corn borer. They're just used to dealing with European corn borer. But obviously, today there's other stalk borers of much pretty significant importance. So, okay, the Southwestern corn borer is a pretty important corn pest in the in parts of the Midwest, and you can see that the range of the Southwestern corn borer gets up into the Kansas area, but this insect is a subtropical insect, and it is subject to weather, and depending on how hard the winter is, it can be frozen back. You know, the range can change 200 miles, and it goes up and down, and then you have a series of mild winters, and it will move all the way up into Nebraska. So things can change quickly, but it is a very important pest where it occurs. You cannot ignore it like you can the European corn borer, because it actually goes down to the base of the plant and cuts the plant off and lays that grain on the ground, and of course the combine is going to have an awful hard time picking that up off the ground. And I have listened to many growers that vow that they will never let that happen again. Either they quit growing corn, or they make sure that they do what it takes to manage that thing and to get by. So management of the European corn, of the Southwestern corn borer, is possible. We can do a pretty good job with some of the insecticides starting in 1970s. We were using the older chemistries, OPs and carbamates, and then the newer second generation pyrethroids are pretty useful. It's a little bit easier getting managing the Southwestern than it is the European, because the treatment window is a little bit narrower, and so you can actually manage the Southwestern with one application of a good pyrethroid if it's timed real well. Our timing is targets the hatching of the eggs during the second generation. And I'm dealing with the corn production practices here in the high plains of Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Colorado. There are some 6 million acres there, at least a few years ago. And the conditions are semi-arid, which is different from the rest of the Corn Belt. And we are growing corn on the Ogallala Aquifer, so irrigation allows high yield potential. And of course, with the high yield, high input situation, you just have to manage these corn borers. And you just cannot get by with ignoring it. The other insects that are involved in this complex, and you have to kind of take into account these other insects when you're managing the Southwestern corn borer. We also have the European corn borer. The Western corn rootworm is also available, and so sometimes the treatments for the Western bean corn rootworm can be involved in your treatment decisions. And then we also, because of the semi-arid conditions, have to deal with spider mites, both the Banks grass mite and the two-spotted spider mite. The European corn borer is the stalk borer that we're interested in the main corn belt. And the two generations, just like the Southwestern corn borer, we typically try to manage the insect during the second generation. Primarily because we're trying to avoid early season treatments in the field that would stimulate spider mite populations. We do have some insecticides with fairly long residual that can do a pretty good job of control. But the European corn borer can caused some pretty significant damage in the field. BT corn works very well for both Southwestern and European corn borer. However, you do have to deal with those refuge requirements, which I'll come back to in a minute. The Western corn rootworm is another insect that needs to be managed. It attacks the roots of the plant and causes quite a bit of damage. Most of the importance of the corn rootworm is that these plants fall down or get tangled up, and it makes it much more difficult to harvest. You can have some yield loss under the right conditions, but that's not the biggest concern here. Spider mites can cause quite a bit of damage, as you see in this picture. Under normal mild conditions, the beneficials, the predator mites, thrips, and the pathogens and so forth can do a pretty good job of managing spider mites. However, when you start throwing insecticides into the system, you can throw the whole system out of whack, and the spider mites will flare up, and they can be very damaging. So you don't make decisions about treatments in this system without thinking about what's going to happen to the spider mites if I do this. Spider mites are usually a problem after insecticide treatments, but you know they can also be a problem just because of hot weather. We normally manage them by avoiding the early season treatments, so we try and direct our treatments to the second generation rather than the first generation. There is a lot of resistance to miticides, and so we're constantly shifting to the new miticides that become available. And so we do have some new miticides that are interesting, that are useful. Bifenthrin is a pyrethroid, but it does have some miticidal activity. It has been a very useful miticide. However, it is in the process of losing its efficacy, and so the usefulness is coming to an end. As a miticide, it's still a very good corn borer insecticide. Okay, now just take a little look at the treatment window and how we go about managing these insects. The treatment window, normally if you're using soil insecticides to control your rootworms, you don't have to worry about sprays during the later part of the season. The treatment window for corn borers is right at tassel, soon after tassel. The target, we try and target the insecticide to go on as the eggs are hatching, try and hit 50% hatch if we can. And then depending on how good your insecticide is, how much residual you have, you may have to come back with a second treatment. And so down at the bottom here, I'm showing the first treatment would be at 50%, and then you may have to come back 10 to 14 days later to give another treatment. And then you have to deal with the spider mites, and you can kind of play that by ear. You may have to put a prophylactic on. One option is to put a prophylactic on early in the season. Other option is to wait until one of these corn borer applications and add the miticide to the corn borer application. And then you may have to come in later. So you could have two or three corn borer and spider mite foliar treatments during the season in non-BT corn. Now when you get corn borer BT corn, things change a little bit because you no longer have to treat for the corn borers. And so we can get by with quite a few fewer insecticide applications. And so we're left with some occasional corn rootworm treatments or some spider mite foliar treatments, mostly as rescue treatments. You do have refuge requirements, and of course there are several options here, but normally you would have the BT corn and the non-BT corn either in the same field as a block or strips or in various other configurations, or you could even have the field a half mile away that could serve as a refuge. And with the BT corn, or corn borer BT, If you have to, you can come in and do the rescue treatment for corn borers in that non-BT to rescue the, you know, from corn borers. And that becomes an important thing in southwestern corn borer country. Just to show you a little bit of information here from on pesticide use, we did a survey back in 2002. And in the main part of the Corn Belt, eastern Kansas and so forth, we do have some insecticide application. There is more insect application on non-BT than on BT, but you still have a little bit. But when you get to southwestern, the southwest of Kansas and adjoining areas, there's quite a bit more treatment because you're dealing with both the spider mites and southwestern corn borers. Even BT corn gets about 40% of the fields are getting treated, and the non-BT 66%. So the differential between those two is 26%, which means that you're getting a selective differential between those two of that 26%. Which some people are concerned about, and others think that's within the a reasonable range. Okay, now when we get rootworm BT into the picture, if you're talking about rootworm BT by itself, you still have to go in there and treat for corn borers because you don't have anything to protect the plants from corn borers. And that gets you on this pesticide treadmill again, so it makes it more likely that you're going to have to treat for spider mites. So you end up with, you know, one or two foliar applications and then some occasional treatments for spider mites and western corn rootworms. I don't know that you have gained a whole lot with straight rootworm BT. We need to talk about the difference between the refuge requirements for corn borer BT and rootworm BT. In both cases, there's a 20% acre of your acreage that needs to be included in the refuge. And in both cases, you can use non-transgenic, not irregular non-BT corn as your refuge. However, in the corn rootworm situation, you have a restriction of not being able to use corn rootworm active insecticides, and so you're not going to be able to correct or protect the refuge if the corn borer population gets to be above the treatment threshold. And so you've got some special considerations. Over here on the corn borer side, you are allowed to go in there and make that treatment. I should have said here on this side, if you do treat the refuge, you're obliged to treat the BT portion of your field as well. The other thing is there's a difference in how close are the pattern of the refuge that in the field that you can use. Over here on the corn borers, you can the refuge can be as much as a half mile removed from your BT corn field, whereas on the rootworm side, it has to be in the same field either as a block or strips. And so these two items have an impact on what you can do in southwestern corn borer country, because in southwestern corn borer country, you have to do something on that refuge. You can't just let it be. Okay, here, if you have just rootworm BT corn, you could have your the refuge would be non-BT. You have these same treatments. This is the same picture I showed before, but you're going to be limited if you want to go in there and treat the whole field for spider mites, for example. You'd be okay, but to go in there and treat that refuge block for corn borers would not be allowed. So these would be the common refuges. Okay, we also have the stacked corn rootworm and corn borer BT corn, which gives us a pretty good option here. It removes the importance of treating for corn borers. And so you're reduced to just having to treat spider mites in a rescue situation. And so your foliar application of insecticides is considerably reduced. However, you've got some things to consider with the refuge. Here is a situation where if you could use a common refuge for both the corn rootworm and the BT, or the corn borers, and you could use these formats. However, you're not going to be able to spray the refuge to protect from corn borers, and so these options probably aren't going to be practical for southwestern corn borer situations. However, you do have this other situation where you can use separate refuges for the corn borers and the rootworms. And there are several of these options, and they should be able to work fairly well. If this is your stacked event here for the stacked BT, the light green then could be some corn borer BT, which would serve as your rootworm refuge. And you could have several different patterns in your field. And you would not have to treat these because these are corn borer protected. And then you would plant the non-BT in a separate field. And then if corn borer protection was required, you could go ahead and treat the area. So this would be an option that would also work in a southwestern corn borer area. There are a couple of other options that are configurations that would also work in the separate refuge pattern. You have the stacked event with the corn borer serving as the rootworm refuge, and then the non-BT corn here serving as the corn borer refuge. And let's see, you've got four different observations here. All of these would be suitable. There may be some new options coming available, and so I thought I'd just mention a couple of them. We're getting to the point where they're starting to pyramid these toxins together, and it's possible that the modeling shows that you should be able to reduce the refuge size with these pyramided events, and I'm talking here about two corn borer events stacked together in the same plant. And there is also now interest in going to the refuge in the bag, and I want to just mention a little bit about that. Pioneer DuPont is pushing this. I don't know if some other companies might be looking at this as well. This AcreMax is with just the corn rootworm and the corn borer, and then the seed mixture is with a corn borer hybrid, and then you would plant conventional corn as a separate refuge for the corn borers. And this may be sprayable, so this would be an option that you could use. The other option I don't think would work simply because you can't do the spraying. The OptiMax 2, or AcreMax 2, is interesting because they're putting in totally unprotected non-BT in the seed mix. And it's not completely clear to me how well that's going to work under heavy pressure with southwestern corn borer. We'll just have to go out and test it and see how well it works. But there's a possibility that it could be a useful function. And then there's a last option here that I'm going to be publishing soon. See if we can't produce a non-host, I just am showing you a computer model here where we're the percent acres and the number of years till we reach resistance, and I quit the model at 150 years, and as long as the resistance trait is either susceptible or partially recessive, You know, there's no response to refuge, so refuge size. So I think this would be a very good option. Even in the case where it's dominant, we still don't have a response to refuge, percent refuge. So I think this is a will be a useful thing, and I'll tell you more about it soon.